I have always believed that if you can dream it, you can do it. The thrill of being a world champion through a Super Bowl victory is something every NFL player dreams about. But being voted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame is one of the greatest experiences that you can ever receive in any career. I'd like to thank you for that honor. God bless you and take care of you.
July the 28th of 1984, the father of the bump and run press coverage in pro football went into his rightful spot, and that is Canton, Ohio, as a Pro Football Hall of Famer. And we are honored to have, wearing his jacket like it just came off the rack from 1984. You've lost a little weight since that speech.
Oh, well, huh? Yeah, you have to. You know, you want to play a certain weight and when you play, so I'm not playing anymore, so I can afford to lose some weight now.
The great Willie Brown, in case you didn't know, but I know you already knew that. The speeches back then, we listened to the speech back, and your speech back in 84 was about 6 or 7 minutes long, and the ones today go about 60 or 70 minutes.
Well, they was really tough on us during that time. They want to make sure you don't go no more than 12 minutes. So I try to cut it down. So mine came down about 8 or 9 minutes. So, but today, they guess you got free range. You go until you drop it, pretty much. So
you played for the great Eddie Robinson. Can we start there before we get into Al Davis and the Raiders? Tell me about playing for Coach Robinson.
Special, very special place for him. You know, when I coming out of high school, I had one school in mind. That was Grambling. I always wanted to go there. Because of Eddie Robinson, his tradition and his way of doing things. And he kind of came to visit me. He talked to my mom and dad, said, well, look, one thing I can guarantee that he will get his education. He will get his degree. So that was happy. My mom was happy. My dad was happy. So, he's a great coach.
You know, without question.
He's the one that set the stone in order for all those great ball players coming out of Grambling. They was something special, you know, because he treated you like a man. He wanted to make sure you act like a gentleman at all time. So that was, you know, he had very, very lot of influence on my being today.
You were not drafted into the NFL. You were not drafted into the AFL. Were you not good enough? Was it the color of your skin? What was the reason you weren't drafted?
Well, you know, during that time, you know, they wasn't drafting a lot of players from the black colleges. So, and a lot of pro teams, and, you know, they didn't know anything about me. They knew about Buck Buchanan, Willie Davis, and Tang Younger, but they had no idea about, you know, the other ball players coming out of there. I mean, we had so many players during my time coming out my senior year. We had 13 players come out, all 13 signed pro contract, whether they were drafted or went in as a free agent. I couldn't even play defensive back at Grambling. I was too slow to play back there, although I was running 4.4s and that kind of thing. But we had guys much faster than that. Then the American Football League was going at that time, so the American Football League came in and got majority of the players from the black schools during that time, and mainly because of Al Davis. He's the one that went in there and Sid Gibbon. They wasn't afraid to go into the black schools and find some ball players because he knew something that the National Football League didn't know. So he jumped in there and said, okay, let's go get some of those players, you know, so we're able to compete against the National Football League.
Yeah. Al did not get you, though, straight directly off the campus of Grambling. You went to the Oilers first, got cut, and then you went to Denver.
Yeah, well.
Tell me about the 64 season. I'm looking at your stats from that year. 9 interceptions, one of the great seasons I know you had in your career. Mm-hmm. Were you playing the Willie Brown press bump and run man coverage back in Denver?
The Houston Oilers signed me as a free agent, and I never played defensive back in my life until I went there. When the first day I got to training camp with the Houston Oilers, they told me, here's your playbook, you're a defensive back. And I'm saying, whoa, wait a minute. And I knew I was going to be cut right away because I never played defensive back. So we was in practice one day, and I was trying to backpedal, playing off by 7 yards, and had some problem trying to turn here and there, going against Charlie Hennigan, who was a great receiver.
Yeah.
So I would work after practice. So one time I say, hey, coach, let me try this. I got in front of the receivers, jammed him up. He couldn't get off the line. So they said, no, you can't do that. We haven't seen that before. I said, yeah, I know, because nobody tried it. So I did. He said, well, let me see it again. So I tried again. The receivers couldn't get off the line. Tried again. They couldn't do anything. So, I mean, I was catching them, slapping them, throwing them down. And so they said, well, you know what? You may have something here. During that time, they had 2 black players on the team, and I made the 3rd one on the team. So they were everybody, all the radios, all the TVs in Houston said that, well, they're going to release me because they only can have 2 blacks on the team because I wouldn't have a roommate and that, you know, whatever, blah, 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 that kind of thing. So they released me and went to Denver and took my technique to Denver. And Denver loved it. All the coaches from the National Football League and the American Football League, they wanted me to teach their corners how to play defensive back. You know, during the offseason, they would write me letters, call me, they would pay me this, they would do that, just to play and just to show their defensive back how to play defensive back the way I did.
Amazing. Al Davis loved it, and he made the trade to get you from Denver. And here's the telegram that he actually sent to then-Denver head coach Lou Saban to confirm the heist. So tell me about your relationship with Al, because that's the kind of defense he wanted played throughout his career, was your kind of defense.
Well, yeah, he, first time, you know, I was playing against him and that kind of thing, and he always shook hands with me like this. He would shake my hand, and next time I put my hand away, there's a $50 bill in my head. So he said, you know what, one day I'm going to make you a Raider kid. So I said, hey, I'm ready whenever you're ready, Coach. I knew that they had something special there. If I ever wanted to play for another team, it would be the Raiders. I saw that because I love the players that he had on the team, and the competitiveness of those players and the ownership of the Raiders. I just knew it was a good fit for me.
No question. And that jacket fits you nicely all these years later.
Well,
when we come back on
good.
The Silver and Black Show, Willie, we're going to be joined by a guy who should be one day wearing that very same jacket that you're wearing. The two-time Super Bowl-winning head coach of the Raiders, Tom Flores, will join us. Then later on, we're going to talk about the long list of Raiders who should also be going in to the Hall, along with Coach Flores and Jim Plunkett and Cliff Branch and Ray Guy and others. But up next, Tom Flores on the Silver and Black Show.
I got a chance to coach Biletnikoff. Branch was a rookie that year, and I played with Fred. I threw him his first pass, first drop, first pass, first touchdown, all that stuff.